The word today is gender. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. God made humans in two types, male and female. Men and women have equality as creatures of God, but with very different roles. Marriage is the union of a man and woman under God's blessing, and a privilege of marriage, when possible, is to have children. Women and men live under God's blessing when they live as He intended them. Here to discuss this important topic further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Gender.
I'd like to share with you the creation account of humans coming from Genesis chapter 2. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. You know, there's been a lot of confusion in the minds of some individuals in the world today as what constitutes a woman and what makes a man. Yeah, well, you know, when you depart from the wisdom and the sensibility of the Word of God, when you start playing around with idolatry and godlessness, then even the most sensible, simple things that are supported by science, such as male and female, such as man and woman, become fuzzy, become a little bit indistinct, and people start to wonder, what is exactly a man or a woman? Well, you know what? It's pretty clear biologically, and it's pretty clear morally. But when people want to be godless and unfaithful to the Creator's design, they will try to reinterpret, they will attempt to redefine these things, and it usually ends up in a major disaster. Marriage, if you can't tell, is under assault in our world today. There is an outright attack on heterosexual marriage, the way God intended it. The world dishonors marriage. The world starts with an atheistic or unbelieving worldview. It perverts things and calls these alternatives marriage. It emphasizes the individual over the family, and it even introduces ridiculous notions such as finding one's soulmate, the idea that there's this ideal person out there that is suited to you alone, and it's nonsense. The Lord made us that we can get along and can have a good marriage or good relationship with any number of people. It really takes a combining of your desires, your will, your goals, and there are many individuals that could make for a good mate in the world today. It's gotten so strange that individuals are even calling dogs and cats their soulmates. We even have an incident in Japan where a man had married his robot. We have individuals who are trying to promote now self-marriage, and I guess it's called sologamy, from the word solo and woman. So these women are trying to marry themselves. It's very strange. And yet that's what happens when people depart from the Word of God. The same-sex marriage that is happening is called an abomination in the Old Testament, and it is thoroughly rejected in the New Testament. Once in a while, you'll hear a person who claims to speak for Christians and suggest that homosexuality is okay, or these other alternative arrangements are fine. That's a lie. That's not true. The Word of God is very clear. And there is no fuzziness. There's no question about what is proper and what is improper. Now, many people hate that. Many people despise that a preacher like I would say something so clearly. And yet we have to stand on the Word of God. Now, one thing I'd like to make clear is that I do not hate individuals that have fallen into sexual sin. I don't think that we should berate them or ridicule them. I don't think that we should disassociate and not talk to them. And they certainly should not be beaten or treated shamefully in any way. I do believe that we should pray that a genetic cure be found. Just as with many other things that are wrong with humans, there might be a genetic cause behind this. And if so, why not try to fix it? You don't take a genetic problem, like for instance, there is known today that there is an alcoholic condition caused in part by your genes, by your genetics. You don't take that and try to pretend as though it's normalcy. Instead, you would try to correct it, and if we could, we would eliminate this. There's even studies done on mice in laboratories and all in order to try to gain more understanding of elimination of alcohol abuse, substance abuse. Well, why wouldn't we do the same with improper sexual orientation, if there is? I'm not saying there is an absolute connection to DNA in our genes, but if there was, why wouldn't we seek to eliminate it? Because it would be an obvious error. It would be a mistake. And you don't try to make the mistake normal. Well, anyway, the basis for creation in the Word of God is that God has created. So the first step in having a proper marriage is to acknowledge God as creator, that he made you male and female. And from this come all these other laws, such as honor your father and mother, and also the implication that you shall not commit adultery. These are two very important laws that flow from the principle that God has made them male and female. And then you see in Genesis, the two shall become one flesh. This is a real challenge because you're thinking here of two discrete individuals. So you have two opinions, two needs, two attitudes, procedures, frustrations, humors, sorrows, solutions, disappointments, perspectives, fears, mistakes, hopes, failures. You have double of all of these. So it's always challenging in order to bring them together. One thing that we take great joy in is that God can take these two sinners and, despite their sin, still bring them together to show love, compassion, and of course, forgiveness for one another. And that, in my opinion, is the biggest ingredient to successful marriage long-term, is this willingness to forgive one another as God has forgiven us in Christ. And that's why Christians look at their marriage as a covenant, as a divine oath that has been taken. Just the way that God has committed himself to us in Jesus to save us from our sins, we are to commit ourselves to our spouse. It's a beautiful thing. It's called a marriage covenant, an agreement, but it's stronger than just deciding you're going to do something. It's actually this wonderful binding commitment that you have toward one another. There is, as I said before, necessity for forgiveness in marriage. I remember, I think it was Peter who asked Jesus in Matthew 18, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" And Jesus gave him the response, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, always be willing to forgive. How much more should that be the case for us when it comes to our spouse? That we would be always willing to have a heart that would forgive our marriage partner. I believe that many divorces could be prevented if we would see the depth, the extent to which God wishes for us to forgive sins. Now, I'm not saying be taken advantage of. And here I want to say something to men, because I've heard it said, as the man goes, so the marriage goes. And that's very true. And even for the family, as the man goes, so goes the family. Men, you need to have tender consideration toward your wives. I've heard some horrible statistics recently that in North America, 1 in 3 women are victims of abuse. This is horrible. This is wretched. If that's the case, men are failing miserably. We're not protecting the women enough. We're not treating them with compassion and tenderness. And around the world, there's different standards, but in Christianity, there's one standard. You respect and you esteem your wife. Spouses do not take advantage of each other. Spouses do not attack and assault one another. They do not physically beat one another or threaten one another. Christianity has the principle of love toward your spouse. You cannot treat your husband or your wife as lesser than you. In the Lord Jesus, you are seen as equal, even though your roles might be differently. There's a verse in 1 Peter 4, verse 8 that says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Here's a little secret. The great marriages are not those that just look wonderful from the outside. The great marriages are those that endure due to forgiveness and kindness and consideration. And I hope you will take that to heart so that you will look for a godly spouse if you are single. Hold out. Wait for a person who is committed to the Lord. And if you're married, please consider the grace of God, the love of God, and that you're going to have challenges as two people come together and bring all their differences and try to make resolution and joint decisions. But you have the power of forgiveness in the name of Jesus. This is your super glue. This can hold you together. I ask that you be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ in your marriage covenant.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. .org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.